You have your Bible, I invite you to turn with us to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. I cannot get off of the thought, seeing God bigger. I can't get away from it. After this week, in revival meeting, Miss Gracie said to me this morning, she said, "Preacher Darren, it's the best revival I've ever been in my life." And that's not because I was preaching, it was because God was there. In a mighty way. And I see God bigger at the end of that meeting than I did this time last week. And I want to think about this morning seeing God bigger in Hannah's barrenness. We saw last week seeing God bigger in Nebuchadnezzar's brokenness. Today we want to see God bigger in Hannah's barrenness. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. "Now there was a certain man of Ramathazoethim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite." Verse 2 says, "And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." A few years ago, I'd slipped out to the state fair, which was over there in Asheville, North Carolina, across from the airport. And from a distance, I saw a man, and he was pumping water by one of them old hand pumps. And the water, boy, it was just flowing. And I thought, wow, that fella is really pumping the water out of that hand pump. But when I got up closer, I saw that the man was a wooden man, and that the water was coming out of what I thought was a hand pump, but electricity was just pulling that water right out of it. And so it had kind of tricked me just a little bit. And what I think about as I thought about the message this week is that man was not pumping the water was pumping the man. It actually had a little thing where his hand was moving as that water began to flow out of that. And I thought about that. They tell me that 8 ounces of water, you can take the 60 million droplets of water that are in that 8 ounces, and you can spread it out in fog, and 100 feet deep, it would shut down an airport or a city in fog. Just a little bit of water. And that's really this morning where you and I find ourselves. It seems like just a small problem and just a little bit of pressure can make us move in all kind of funny ways. When I think about Hannah this morning, I think about, first of all, the pain that she could not ease. Look with me here. The Bible says she has a physical problem. Verse 5. The Lord had shut up her womb. Her physical problem was barrenness. She was unable to have children physically. My friend, this morning, her womb was unproductive and unfruitful. She had a good husband. His name was Elkanah. The Bible says that he loved her. And there's probably not a more deserving woman to be a mother than Hannah. I'm telling you what, with love in the home and someone providing and a mother that would care and nurture a child, very deserving she was. But, my friend, she had a physical problem. The Lord had shut up her womb. You see this in a lot of our churches nowadays, where our churches become barren. You don't see anybody being saved anymore. You don't see anybody bearing fruit for the glory of God. And it just can be that God would shut up the womb of the church for a little season to get you back on your knees and get you back praying, oh God, would you save folk? Oh God, would you bring joy back? Oh God, would you help us to see you bigger through this time of affliction? He's not above doing that if he has to. And I pray that he does it. Not only does she have a physical problem, but barrenness in those ancient days was a spiritual picture. Other people thought that the woman who was barren, they thought that it was a sign of God's displeasure. That she had committed some sin and God had struck her womb barren because he had no favor towards her. It was a sign that she was a sinner. And God had told Adam and Eve, he said, be fruitful and multiply. And when the woman could not multiply, it was a sign in the ancient world that God's judgment had fell upon her life and upon her family. And so she was deemed or viewed as a sinner. There's no doubt from this text that Elkanah wanted a son to continue his name. There's no doubt that Hannah wanted a child that she could love and that she could nurture and care for. But also, to have a child, it would give evidence that she was living a clean life before the Lord. And Hannah felt all kinds of pressure. I want you to look at the pain that she could not ease. As she could not avoid this problem. Look with me at the words that were used about what she felt. In verse 6, there is the word provoked. It's used again in verse 7. Also in verse 6, she was fretting. In verse 7, she was weeping. In verse 8, she was grieved. In verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul. In verse 11, she was filled with affliction. I didn't read it in your hearing, but in verse number 15, she was a woman of sorrowful spirit. In verse 16, at the end of the verse, she again speaks about complaint and about grief. There are 8 different phrases or words that expresses the pain that Hannah had in her life. And you may sit here today and say, Preacher Darren, that doesn't affect me at all. I have no pain whatsoever. Hannah's pain was real. And we should take, if someone's going through a burden or a valley, we should take that upon ourselves and try to pray for them and help them through that time. But when Hannah looked for help, when Hannah looked for encouragement, all she got was someone who provoked her sore. So I want you to see this morning, first of all, that this woman, Hannah, had a pain that she could not ease. She was in bitterness of soul. There's only 2 other people beside her that this expression is used for. The first one is Job. We know what he experienced. Twice he speaks of bitterness of soul. Hezekiah, when it was told him that he should set his house in order, that he was going to die, Isaiah 38, I believe it is, says that he was in bitterness of soul. So Hannah is in elite company with men such as Hezekiah and men such as Job to be in sorrowful, a sorrowful soul, a bitter soul. And I say to you this morning, church, I don't know what somebody here goes through, but you've got great bitterness. Your heart's heavy. You come in trying to smile, but the smile just wasn't there. You try to sit here through the service. You can't amen. You can't wave your hand. You've got sorrow. You've got grief. You've got complaint. You've got weeping. My friend, you're facing all kinds of adversity. And it is a pain that you yourself cannot make go away. She cannot ease or get comfort in herself or in her situation. Do you see that this morning? Second of all, there is a person that she cannot please. As if her problems weren't bad enough. Look what she's got here. There's another woman that her husband is married to, and her name is Peninnah. And the Bible says, when her husband Elkanah, every time he went to offer to the Lord, he would also give to his family. He would give to Peninnah and to her children. He would give them portions. But the Bible says to Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. He gave her a double portion. Whoo! He loved her, and he gave her a double portion. But don't miscalculate. Hannah's double portion caused Peninnah to be jealous. She began to scorn her. She would provoke Hannah. She did everything she could to get under Hannah's skin. Every time Hannah appeared, don't you know, the Bible says when they went to the house of God, there she faced that person that criticized her. They said, we all know why you can't have a child, Hannah. You're not right with God. And it'd just break her heart. Yet she had another portion. But every time she came to the church, there was Peninnah standing out on the front porch to greet her and pulling out all the pictures of her kids, saying, look at all the kids I have, Hannah. Where are yours? And it just hurt Hannah's heart so bad. It caused great bitterness and sorrow in her soul. I want you to read a little bit now about this Peninnah again in verse 5. And the Bible says that he gave Hannah the worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb and her adversary. Do you see that this morning? Peninnah is called her adversary. The Bible said she provoked her sore for to make her fret. When someone is fretting, it means a trembling or a shaking. Can you imagine every time she came to the house of God, there is somebody in her life she can't avoid. Somebody that she could never please. Some critic, some opinionated person. And as soon as she gets there, they begin to criticize and complain and cause her to tremble and cause her to fret. As if her problem wasn't bad enough already, when she went to the house of God, she could find no help in others around her because she was being provoked sore. Friend, she has a pain she cannot ease, and she has a person she cannot please. Have you ever had somebody you couldn't hardly stand to be around them? It's all you can do. D.L. Moody, he had a lot of people write him notes of criticism and tried to call him and meet with him and say things to him. And he said, I've got a lot. He walked to the pulpit one time, and laying on the pulpit was a piece of paper that wrote the word fool on it. Brother Moody looked at that and walked up to the pulpit, and he said, well, I've got a lot of notes many times that they're anonymous and not signed. But this is the first time I've had somebody sign their name and not leave the note. I can only imagine if Peninnah had been a Baptist, the hurtful, scornful, resentful, painful words she probably spoke to Hannah, doing her best to drive Hannah away from the house of God, doing her best to drive Hannah away from the family and get rid of her because she hated her. Peninnah's scorn was Hannah's thorn. But she kept coming anyway. You don't see her dropping out. You don't see her quitting.
You just know that her heart has grown very bitter and she's in sorrow of soul. You see that this morning? Let me move on and say this. You're dealing this morning with an unimaginable problem. If this has just been one time when somebody said, I want to meet with you, and they just bless you out, if it had been one time, that would have been bad enough. But it was every year. Every time they came, she's provoking her. Every time. And it's not getting better, it's only getting worse. She already has a problem with barrenness. She's burdened about that. That's a problem that's unimaginable. But now, because of people, she has a person that's become unbearable. Let me say this to you, and I want to move on. God will put people in your life and situations in your life that you will not like to deal with. And you would rather just walk away from it. That's the easiest thing you could do. But don't you know that God's going to allow your character to be tested by some peoples and by some situations in your life? Because the real test of character is not when people compliment you. The real test of character is when people criticize you. When people complain at you. That's the real test of your character on what you're going to do. When things aren't going the way you want it to go, will you just quit? Brother Tony, I appreciate you. Your precious wife, she left this world and she's in the splendor of glory. You could have grown a bitter spirit about it. But she said, I'm going to keep serving God. You look out here on Saturday afternoons, and that old boy's got a tool in his hand cleaning the gravel off of the paved parking lot. He don't let one piece of gravel lay on that parking lot. You know why? He's got a love for the church and a love for the things of God. And may God bless you in a mighty way for that, Brother Tony. Because I'm telling you, you could have grown bitter about it, but you said, I'm not going to let it make me bitter. It's been adverse, oh yes, but I'm going to keep on serving God. And I appreciate that with all my heart. There are many of you, the least little thing that goes wrong, you say, that's it. I'm done. I see you. Boy, I'm glad Jesus wasn't that way. When it got adverse, when trouble came, bitterness, sorrow, and adversity came to his life, he opened not his mouth. He never complained. He never murmured at all. He went all the way to the cross of Calvary, gave his life a ransom for my sin and for your sin. And he is the one that's to be our example that you and I should follow. And I want to say this morning that Hannah, she's got a real problem this morning. She's got a problem that she cannot ease and people that she cannot please. So what's she going to do? I want you to see thirdly this morning. She has now a petition that she cannot cease. Her heart being heavy and burdened. What's she going to do? Look with me at verse number 10. The Bible says that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. What was her response when an adversary came up, when problems were around? She began to pray. That's the best thing you'll ever do. To say, oh God, I can't take it. God, you're going to feel me. God, you're going to help me. There's no way I can get through this. You're going to have to pray. And you know what? I could read on down in the chapter. As Hannah began to pray, she was not praying out loud where her voice could be heard. She was moving her lips, but praying from her heart. And the Lord heard her. Amen. And her prayer moved to tears. And can you imagine how she already, the Bible says, she wept sore. That means she wept and wept and wept and wept some more. She just poured out her heart to God. Let me tell you what she did it. She did it in front of all the people that were present at the house of God that day. She wasn't praying out loud, but praying from her heart in a place of prayer, moving her lips. And Eli thought, boy, that girl's drunk. I don't know what in the world's wrong with her. I mean, look at her, how broken she is and tore up. She can't be right. Let me tell you something. I wish somebody get under such a burden that they'd hit this old-fashioned altar, amen, and we wouldn't think you're drunk. We'd think you're filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Amen? she began to pray. And I want you to look at verse 11. She made a promise, didn't she? She made a promise to God, said, God, if you will give unto thine handmaid a son, if you will give me a son, she says, I'll give him to you all the days of his life. It's a spiritual commitment. She says, Lord, listen, I don't believe much in bartering with the Lord, but Hannah did. She said, God, if you'll do this, I tell you what, I'll give him back to you all the days of his life. It was a spiritual commitment, but it was also a national commitment. You realize, she said, he's going to be a Nazarite. He's going to vow, no razor will ever touch his head. He's going to serve you, Lord. He's going to be set apart for service to you. Imagine just giving your children to God. Amen. I'm done right here. The Bible says that this woman, look with me down here in verse number 13. Now Hannah, verse 12, it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. The word poured out means that she was emptied of herself. If you look at verse 12, my Bible says that she continued in prayer. That word doesn't just mean that she's just staying there. It means that her prayer grew stronger and in more intense under more of a heavy burden. So I want you to see her passion in her prayer life. And we know what God did. God answered her prayer. He gave her a man-child. And do you know what she did? She took that young boy when he became of age, just a young man. She took him to the house of God and gave him back to the Lord. And every year she brought him a little coat. You stand to your feet. I'm done this morning. She made a promise to God and she kept it. Amen. There was a little lady, her name was Aunt Bertie. She was living on a fixed income day to day. And every time her cupboards would get low, she'd get in and get to praying that God would open the doors of heaven or a window and pour out a blessing. And she began to be burdened about it. Infidel moved close to her and he could hear her praying. And boy, he hated that old prayer stuff she was offering. He was just totally against it. He heard them cupboards get bare and she went to praying. He slipped down the grocery store and bought her $100 worth of groceries. He put them in his arms and came and put them in front of her door and he knocked on the door and he went and stood in the bushes. And when that little woman opened the door, there was all them groceries. And she just began to thank God. She said, thank you, God, for groceries. Thank you, God, for providing for my need. Thank you, God, for what you've done for me one more time. And that old infidel jumped out of the bushes and said, ha ha. You're thinking you're God, but he didn't provide that. I did. I wanted to prove to you that it's not your God you're trusting. I took care of you today. You should be thanking me. And boy, she really started shouting even harder. And he said, ma'am, I told you that I provided it. She said, I know. But I asked God to provide it, and he made the devil pay for it. I will say this to you this morning, I'm done. Someone come to the instrument. Hannah's problem, her predicament, the things she went through, her pain, her provocation, all those things came to her. And at the end, when God gave her a child, don't you know she blessed the Lord? Don't you know she saw God bigger than she'd ever seen him before?